remember that the casting director wants you to be great. The casting director wants you to get the job. Why? Because it makes our job so much easier.
Welcome to Casting Actors Cast. Insights for actors on acting in the business of show. Casting director Jeffrey Dreisbach takes you behind the scenes and reveals secrets to a successful acting career. You can find out more on the web at castingactorscast.com. Please enjoy, like, and share Casting Actors Cast. Now, here's your host, Jeffrey Dreisbach.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of Casting Actors Cast. I'm Jeffrey Dreisbach, casting director of McCorkle Casting in New York City. How are you? Yes, you. I mean you. How are you? It's great to have you here. Thank you so much for joining us today on Casting Actors Cast. Hope you're having a really, really good day. I'm looking forward to today's podcast because we're going to be talking about audition disasters. Yeah, things that can go wrong, things that have gone wrong, things that I've seen firsthand go wrong in an audition. So stay tuned for that. This is that moment in the podcast where I want to thank you so very, very much for tuning in. I just want to take a quick shout out mention for a young actor who wrote me, and he wrote me by going to castingactorscast, all one word, .com, and mentioned that he commutes from Orange, California, or South Orange, California to Los Angeles to go to an acting class, and it's a 2-hour commute. Can you imagine 2 hours in traffic? And he said his day is made better by listening to Casting Actors Cast, and that was really a very kind and appreciative. I love hearing back from people. This podcast has been taking off. It's almost, gosh, we're almost up to a year of doing these podcasts. And to those of you who are tuning in on a regular basis, I can't thank you enough. But do yourself a favor, go to castingactorscast.com, all one word, castingactorscast, and click on the little icon that says jump into the talent pool. That's my attempt at humor, at least. Anyway, and I want you to go ahead and fill out that little form just so that I know you're a listener to Casting Actors Cast. I don't do anything with that information other than hang on to it, I promise you. But then, if you do that, you're going to get a downloadable link to a PDF of a book called Conversation Pieces Out of the Studio, the voiceover workshop for professional actors. And this is a 100-page book that I wrote a few years back, not too long ago. So it still is relevant, I can promise you. And it's all about what to do to get into the voiceover world, get into the voiceover business. Everything from training tips and suggestions and workshop ideas to putting together a demo tape. I think it's a really valuable thing to have. Plus, there's just a lot of performance skill things that I believe that if you have an interest in doing this, you're going to find really, really valuable. Absolutely 100% free of charge, just as a thank you for letting me know that you're out there. As you know, this podcast is free of charge. We have no advertisements. We have no sponsors. None of that. I just love doing this for the purpose of simply wanting to give back to the community of actors who are working really hard. I started as an actor, and I made my living as an actor for about 20 years, and then went into casting by joining the McCorkle casting team. I am one of 4 casting directors in the office, and we are working on several different projects simultaneously. It's been a wild, wild ride for the past few weeks because we've been doing, 6 or 7 different projects at the same time. And I had lots of auditions last week, EPAs. We're working on the musical of Sophisticated Ladies. I did a couple of workshops. I did a national monologue slam. I was a guest speaker and judge of the National Monologue Slam. So there was just a lot of auditioning going on in my world this week. And I thought this would be a great time to talk about audition disasters, things that go wrong in auditions and what to do to deal with those mishaps. Because you know what? We're all human beings and we all make mistakes. And mistakes are just, part of being a human. And so I want to talk about those things that I experienced this week. And don't worry, I'm not going to use any names. I'm not going to be specific except for how to handle those specific things that do go wrong and what to do to recover from them. So that's why we're calling today's show Audition Disaster. So we're going to start with musicals, talk about some musical issues that we had this week. We're also going to talk about when you're auditioning with a monologue, whether or not that's in front of an agent or a manager, or whether or not you're doing a Shakespeare company monologue. And we're also then going to talk about scenes, disasters that have happened in scenes firsthand that I've experienced. And it's not really so much the disaster. It's how the actor chooses to recover from a disaster that really is the telling thing about you as a performer. So if you have at the ready some ways to deal with mishaps, I think that you're going to feel a little more confident about your work. Plus, you'll also be perceived as being more professional, because this is the moment where you want to take out a pen and paper. This is it. Confidence equals competence. Confidence equals competence. So being a competent performer, meaning you need to demonstrate that you have confidence in your ability, and that confidence can translate itself in how you recover from things that might go wrong. And guess what? Something is invariably going to go wrong in auditions at some point in your career. They just are. How do you handle it? What do you do to recover from those situations that you find yourself in? So let's talk first about musical auditions. And so we are doing this production of Sophisticated Ladies, and it looks like it's going to be a really, really wonderful musical. It was done in the 80s, and it's now being done again. And we're putting it together for a couple of sit-down theater tours, but we're also pretty confident that this might have some legs. And if you don't know what that means, that is, there's going to be a lot of attention for this to be thought of as a move to Broadway. Andre DeShields is directing, and with his name and his background, if you don't know who he is, I suggest really you should just check him out in the original cast of Ain't Misbehavin'. He was The Wiz in The Wiz, and a lot of other really outstanding projects that he's been involved with over the years. And we've enjoyed working with him on several projects at McCorkle Casting. So now he's directing this Sophisticated Ladies production, and it's strictly a musical with no book. In other words, there's no storyline, really, but it is a musical review of Duke Ellington music. And it's really going to be quite special. And I think the concept for the show is really also very exciting, because he's going to reshape some of the work to satisfy today's audiences. And the music of Duke Ellington is just so fantastic, so much fun, that we are looking forward to working on this project. So one of the qualifications for the audition, and we made it very, very clear to all of the actors, both in the EPAs and in the general auditions that we handed out, that there were just a few musical numbers that we did not want to hear. The simple reason that they're not as complicated musically material that shows off the performer's voice. So we wanted the performers who are coming into audition to stay away from two musical numbers. I'm not going to mention the names of the musical numbers. It's not that important. But we made it really, really clear, as per Andre's suggestion, please don't sing these two songs. So guess what? One actor comes in and says, well, I know you asked me not to sing this song, but that's the only song that I had. Can you imagine that? It's like we say, don't put salt and pepper on your mashed potatoes. And the person at the restaurant says, I know you said no salt and pepper, but I only brought salt and pepper. So what do you think the response was? The response was, well, then thank you very much, but we're not interested. I mean, that's not exactly what was said, but in a very delicate, professional way, it was like, we know we made it really clear not to do that. So that was one audition experience that I thought was really surprising. And guess what? That happened more than once. It's as if we say, please do not do this specific number. Many people came in with that specific song. It's like your brain goes, what the hell were you thinking? And then the second thing that happens immediately after that, after this, like, you know, that's really, we made the request not to do it for a reason. So you thinking that you have a better reason than we do for doing the song means that we're probably not going to be that interested in wanting to work with you. I hope that makes sense. It's not rude. It's just kind of reality that we have specific outlines or parameters, especially if we're asking you to come in with material from the show and we say, please bring material from Duke Ellington, but please don't sing the A-Train song. And then people come in with the A-Train song. It's like, really? Really? That's what you're going to do? The second thing I want to share with you is that the actor says, well, that's all I've got. And then the actor says, oh, I'm so sorry. I really didn't understand. I apologize. Well, apologizing puts us in another difficult position. We made the instructions clear, and now you're showing me that you're sorry about that. Don't put us into a position of having to feel badly that you didn't follow instructions. Now, I know that kind of sounds harsh, but it was that apologies don't really help us in making the important determination about you in our production. Now, audition disaster number two is the performer that comes in with the required or requested material that we ask them to sing, but they don't like the key that it's in. And so they ask the accompanist to transpose on the fly. You can imagine. We happen to have Darren Cohen, who is just an exceptional musician as a musical director, and he's just superior on the keyboard, and his knowledge of musical theater is second to none. And he does transpose pretty much quite a bit, but there are some keys, for example, that are just really difficult to transpose on the fly. For you to come in and then expect that the musical director's going to transpose into your key is really a fool's errand and should never, ever, ever be done. It turns into a disaster because now you're spending more time at the piano trying to work out your note, trying to work out whether or not Darren is really going to make and put his best foot forward. It just becomes just a whole kind of mini cluster nightmare. So please, if you need a song transposed, have it transposed. Do your work, especially if you've had plenty of time and advance notice to put this audition together. To come in and apologize, to come in and ask for a transpose key is an unfortunate statement more about you than about our requests, I can assure you. Next, if you're coming in with a song, you may not sing it a cappella. So this is a Duke Ellington musical, and it requires your ability to sing with a full orchestra. So singing a cappella is also crazy bad and not helpful to us to see your musical ability. And finally, the other thing that seemed that was kind of a disaster is when somebody has on their resume that they are a strong mover. That's really hard for us to determine. There was one particular actress who we really, really liked a lot who sang the hell out of a song, just really fantastic talent. And Andre said, well, how do you move? And the talent said, well, I move really well. So Andre says, well, how well? She says, well, I move really well. So he says, Darren, would you just play something? And I just want you to move to something. Just go ahead and give me some, you know, some freestyle movement so I can see you move. Now, thank goodness, this particular talented actress was an excellent mover. And so she's just started moving. And within 15 seconds, you could see that she had some moves and that she was not an uncoordinated person. And so she got a call back. But what a dangerous kind of territory to find yourself in. So putting strong mover on your resume doesn't help us at all. When I was a guest judge at the National Monologue Slam, I got a really great tip for the question that we ask many performers in musical auditions. And here's a great response. This came from Danny Prather from Hudson Talent in New York. And Danny's a really great guy and has a really wonderful boutique talent agency in New York. And he tells his clients the following, that when we casting and or director asks the talent, so tell me, how is your dance? Are you a strong mover? The response really should be from the performer, I would love to be able to show you how good I am at callbacks. Now, you think that may be a little bit, you know, weird, but I thought it was such a great answer. So when we ask on a scale of 1 to 10, how well do you dance? You can say, I am so excited that I could show you at the callback. That's a really interesting kind of reversal and approach, because just answering, well, I'm a strong mover, doesn't really help us solidify how we are going to feel about you. There's enough interest in you to ask you the question, but just saying, yes, well, I'm very strong, is not really helpful. So you really need to think through those kinds of questions or those kinds of situations that you find yourself in. First of all, never, ever apologize. Two, if you're not prepared to do your absolute very best audition, give us enough advance notice and give that slot to somebody else. Will you please? Because you're hurting yourself more than you know. The one actress who wasn't prepared, who apologized, who wanted the accompanist to transpose on the fly and then apologize themselves all the way out of the room, really put themselves in a really negative light. It makes us, the casting people, say, gosh, you know what? I'm just not sure I want to take that risk of bringing that person in again. And then we get a call from the agent saying that the performer was really, really upset because they were treated rudely, when nothing could have been further from the case. It just became a really uncomfortable situation. So if you're not prepared, be truthful with yourself, because every audition should be a great, positive, reinforced opportunity that you can't wait to show us how good you are. And that's the only way you're going to find yourself feeling confident about your audition and therefore also demonstrate your competence. Now let's move on to monologues. A situation that happened in another audition, in another project that I was working on, and this happened a couple of times where the actor stopped themselves mid-monologue and said, oh man, I'd just like to start again. I'm so sorry. Can I start again, please? Well, okay, I was fine with that, and I want to be a nice guy. I'm a nice guy, so I don't want to give, you know, a hard time to anybody, say, no, you blew it, and so you can leave now. I've never and would never do that. But let me just say, if you're going to stop yourself because you had, you know, a little mental lapse, or you jumped ahead and you weren't focused or concentrated, you know, those all things are, like I said, human beings have those kinds of things happen to them. That's fine. It's not about the human being stuff. It's how are you going to recover from that? And here's my response. If you're going to start over again, and I'm fine, start over again, you must absolutely approach the piece, the reboot, in a different way. We need to see another complete color from you to demonstrate why you wanted to restart. Start again, but make sure we understand the reason that you started again by having a different interpretation, a different take, a different level of energy. And by the way, if you are interested in working on monologues, and everyone should have some monologue work prepared and something that you could work on just for fun anyway, really do yourself a favor. Listen to the podcast I do on monologues, because it really gives you a lot of great tips there. So no apologies. Don't restart unless you absolutely have to. And if you do restart, then please do yourself the favor of giving a really fresh new approach to the reboot. And then finally, I want to share, as far as doing monologues are concerned, it was so odd to me that several actors just didn't know how to end the piece. In fact, there was one piece that an actor did, and it was very, very sad and emotionally charged. And the final beat, the actor said, that's it. like, I'm done now. It was so weird, I thought. Then there was the actor who finished the monologue and then bowed. Like, and thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. It was so bizarre. So please don't bow at the end of your scene. Hold that last moment and then slowly breathe out of that last moment so that we know you're over. We know you're done. Don't put a bizarre button on the number if you understand what I mean by that. That means just be clean with the ending of the piece so that you don't have to do any extracurricular gesticulations for ending your monologue. Now, I see by the clock on the wall, we're already out of time, and I wanted to get to scenes and scene disasters that I've seen and some recovery ideas. So guess what? We're going to do that in the next podcast. So I hope you stay tuned for that. We're going to talk more about some audition disasters and the scene work that I've seen happen with actors in an audition. So you got to come back for that. Great to have you here. The time just flew. And if you liked what you heard, please let me know. Go to castingactorscast.com. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Jeffrey Dreisbach.
You've been listening to Casting Actors Cast with host Jeffrey Dreisbach. Find out more at castingactorscast.com and let us know if you would like us to cover topics you're interested in. Thanks for listening. I'm Matthew DeSarno.